Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I hope you enjoy this episode of G220 Radio.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
And good evening. Welcome to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I want to welcome you to the show tonight. This is Sunday Night Small Talk. It's a show where we open up the phone lines for you to call in and share what's on your mind. Share maybe what you've been thinking about. Share something that maybe you have a question, and hopefully I can answer it. Or if not, Whatever's on your mind, whatever you might be thinking about. Kind of got thrown off there a little bit. I'm looking at my show notes, and it shows that I have a phone number in there twice, and it just kind of threw me off. But yeah, this is Sunday Night Small Talk here on G220 Radio. Like I said, the phone lines are open. It is 347-857-4028. Again, the number is 347-857-4028. So here tonight on G220 Radio, being that it's Sunday Night Small Talk, just got a lot of things, little things maybe to kind of talk about throughout the night. Just little things that are on my mind, things that I'd like to share with you guys. And again, like I said, if you want to call in, we can talk about what's on your mind as well. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for G220 Radio, please go to... You can either go to our Facebook page or the Twitter page for G220 Radio and leave us your comments and your feedback for the show. You can also send it by email if you go to rickygantz@g220ministries.com, and you can send me an email there. Or you can dial the phone number. It's our ministry line. Nobody's going to answer the phone there. We just have it set up to go straight into the voicemail so that we can get back to you if you call and leave us a message. And that number is 216-744-9581. Again, that number is 216-744-9581. And like I said, you can leave us a message and let us know what's on your mind. If you have an iTunes account, I want to encourage you to go to iTunes, subscribe to G220 Radio, and then rate and review. Let us know what you think about the show there as well, and rate us there, and give us your feedback. It's always good to hear the feedback, even if you don't agree with what you hear on the show. I still like to hear your feedback, even if you're If the show's been an encouragement to you, if it's been challenging to you, if it's been convicting, edifying, whatever it may be, it's always good to hear the feedback to give me an idea of, you know, who we're reaching and who we're talking to out there that's hearing the show, and what's on your mind as you listen to some of the things that we talk about. If you have show ideas, which I put a question out on the Facebook page the other day, if you have any questions or have any ideas, I should say, about G220 Radio or any shows that you would like to see, send them my way. Let me know. I've got some things planned here in the future. I've got some upcoming shows with some guests that I'm trying to get things in the work, and looking forward to having these people come on to G220 Radio, and just looking forward to what is in store here in the future of G220 Radio. We are coming up on, this is episode 91. 91 episodes of G220 Radio. Can you believe that? 91 episodes. And so pretty soon we're going to be coming up to episode 100. 100 episodes. We are only, do the math, nine away from reaching 100 episodes of G220 Radio. When I think back to how this all started. I was sitting in, I believe it was Friendly's, and I was sitting in there with a friend, and we were eating, and we were talking, and I mentioned that I had this idea in my head that I always wanted to start this little radio show. Start a radio show on the internet, a podcast, and just talk about the things of the Lord, talk about different things within theology, from a biblical worldview. And he said to me, you know, I was thinking of the same things. And so we had all these ideas, a lot in common, and thinking about starting a radio show. And so we went down that venue together, and we started Berean Boys Radio. And we did that for about, I think it was 2 months, we did Berean Boys Radio. And we had some guests on. We had George Alvarado, who's been on the show here multiple times here on G220 Radio, but he was one of our guests in that time period. We had J.D. Hall on the show in that time period. And we just had 2 months of trying to figure things out, new to Blog Talk, trying to understand how to work the radio show and understand how to work all the things with the internet and uploading things and editing and trying to do all that stuff. And it was a learning process. It's still, even at episode 91, I'm still learning things. It's still a learning process. But to see how far I've come from there to now, it's just been one unbelievable ride here on G220 Radio. And I just enjoy every opportunity to talk to pastors, evangelists, street preachers, friends, and hear the testimonies of the people that I have come on to the show. I've had authors on the show, and just to think about this, here I am, Ricky Gantz. I am absolutely nobody. I don't know why anyone would want to listen to me talk about anything. That's why I usually bring guests on, because if I bring a guest onto the show, you don't have to really listen to me talk like you will tonight if nobody calls in to talk and share what's on their mind. But you don't have to listen to me. I have these guests come on, and they share their testimonies, and they tell me about what the Lord is doing in their lives, and we talk about different topics, and it's just such a blessing. And the majority of the people that I've had on the show are people that I have met through Facebook or through an outreach, being out there on the streets and going to some of these different outreaches, preaching the gospel, and meeting some wonderful, wonderful, godly people. Facebook, for me, has been a wonderful tool to be used to reach people, to connect with other brothers and sisters, and many of them, like I said, I've had them on the show. And it's been a blessing. It's been an unbelievable blessing to have these people come on the show, brothers and sisters, share, like I said, what the Lord is doing with them. had musicians on the show, rappers and singers, and it's just, it's been great. And we've talked about from things from Christian music all the way to comics and superheroes. So, I mean, it's just been an unbelievable, great time of getting to know the people that have been on the show, having people on as guests, and looking forward to the upcoming episodes of G220 Radio. It always throws me off. I'm doing a show and I look over at my Facebook and somebody sends me a message and it just throws me off because then I'm trying to read the message while I'm talking and I'm not very good at multitasking. I like to think that I do pretty well at it, but truth be told, no. I get caught up and I'm trying to read what is this person asking me and I get thrown off. So anyways, we're going to go to a commercial break. I want to tell you about a couple books in this commercial break, so here we go.
Hey, George Alvarado here. Ever wondered why the majority of people who call themselves Christians don't share their faith? Do you know what you would call someone who does not regularly, consistently, and purposefully obey the Great Commission? Would you know what word to use? Apostasy, the greatest omission, answers these questions and more. My book not only coins a new word that Christians can use to describe the sin of not evangelizing, but it diagnoses the reasons why this sin is so rampant in our Western churches, and it provides a thorough, biblical understanding of the root causes so that you and other professing Christians can expose the greatest sin of omission. So whether you or your local church is on fire for the Lord, or you know somebody who is about as on fire as a wet match, this book is for you. Purchase your copy of Apostasy, the Greatest Omission at trackplanet.com and like our Facebook page to get the most recent updates concerning this book. Remember, it's Apostasy, the Greatest Omission at trackplanet.com.
What do Jewish people believe? Or Muslims? A Mormon? Or a Jehovah's Witness? If you've ever wondered, then the book What Do They Believe is for you. From the differing views on God and Jesus to sin, salvation, and eternity, What Do They Believe will help you get an accurate understanding of what other religions believe. What Do They Believe by Andrew Rappaport, available now on Kindle and at strivingforeternity.org.
And welcome back. Those are a couple books I would highly encourage you to go and pick them up. You can get them, if you've listened to the commercial there, you'll know where to go and find them. You can get Apostasy at trackplanet.com, and you can get the What Do They Believe book at strivingforeternity.org. So really, those are some great books to really help you. The Apostasy book, I've had George on in the past, as I said earlier, to talk about his book. So you can go back and listen to that show if you want to get a little bit more insight on what he wrote about in that book, Apostasy. But it deals with the sin of not evangelizing. So it's a really good and helpful book. Uses a lot of scripture in that book in dealing with that topic of not evangelizing, not following the Great Commission, but being the Great Omission. And then What Do They Believe? Again, the book by Andrew Rappaport really goes into telling you or sharing with you and teaching you what these other religions believe. One of the things about this book that is very helpful and it's a wonderful book to have in your library is because it doesn't go off of the assumptions of what Christians think Catholics believe or what Christians think Jehovah's Witnesses believe. It actually goes off what they believe. He definitely did the research to go to the sources and find out what they believe from their own source. So therefore, it's not someone saying you misrepresented my belief and you use a straw man argument. It is actually giving you what they believe so that when you stand there and have a conversation with one of these religions that are covered in the book, you will be able to know what they believe and be able to then share with them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you guys something that many will find out tomorrow, because usually every day I throw up question of the day, and I do that quite regularly, if I can learn how to talk. But I do that on a regular basis. I try to throw up what do they believe, or I'm all confused now. See, I'm trying to multitask. It's not working out for me. I'm sorry. I apologize. But what I throw up these questions of the day because I want people to have an opportunity to think things through and to have a good discussion and have healthy discussions. And sometimes, unfortunately, they get out of hand. It doesn't happen a lot. I have to say, on my Facebook, when I put up these questions of the day, I don't get a lot of people really going at it, but there are those times when people do, and they say things or they attack each other that is not the purpose of why the questions go up. I think it's good to have dialogue. If you start to curse or put down or belittle, I probably will delete your comments. I don't delete people as friends, and I don't unfriend them. I don't do that, but I may delete your comments if you're getting a little out of hand. Because as Christians, and even those who weigh in that are not Christians, we need to be able to have conversations with each other in a gracious manner, in a loving manner, and be gentle in our conversations with one another. Even when we disagree, because we are going to disagree on theology. There is not one person, me or anyone listening to this show right now, or anyone out there that has 100% correct theology. So we're going to be wrong in some areas, but we need to be gracious and loving and in the conversations that we have on that. So when I do the questions of the day, it's basically to get people's thoughts on things, to hear their perspectives on things and see how they may see something or view something from Scripture. Sometimes there have been times, I should say, that someone has wrote something as an answer or a response to the question of the day, and it made me think, I didn't really think about that before. That is a very good response, and it causes me to go to the Scriptures and look and see if they actually have a case for that answer that they pose. And so that's the purpose of questions of the day. And so I've kind of changed up the format a little bit. I tried to do this once before. I tried to do questions of the days through the G220 Ministries page to keep better track of it, and it didn't work out. But I'm going back to trying again. I'm going to post them on my Facebook page, but setting them up for the G220 radio question of the day to try to get some traffic flowing on the G220 radio Facebook page. So here's the question of the day for tomorrow. This is the question of the day for tomorrow. So you can weigh in here on G220 radio tonight, or you can weigh in tomorrow. But nonetheless, here's the question of the day for tomorrow. So you get the inside scoop here on G220 Radio. Question of the day: should Christians engage in fantasy sports leagues that involve money? So should they get involved in these fantasy sports leagues? You know, like they've got fantasy football, fantasy basketball, and baseball, and these sports leagues. And usually you pay money to get involved. And, you know, if you win, you get money. So in a way, I guess we could say it's kind of like gambling. But what do you think? Should Christians engage in fantasy sports leagues that involve money? You can call into the show and leave me your responses now, or you can share your responses with me, or you can wait till tomorrow and put your responses on the G220 Radio Facebook page when I put it up. We'll be right back after this.
If you want to grow in your understanding of God's Word and learn to study the Bible for yourself, join Pastor Andrew Rappaport as he teaches each week from the Word of God. The teaching is free through the Internet, but paid students receive a syllabus for each course with extra study materials. The cost is only $50 per year, with special pricing for church groups. and you get to choose from the School of Biblical Hermeneutics or the School of Systematic Theology. Sign up today for Striving for Eternity Academy. Details at strivingforeternity.org.
Imagine Jesus walking onto your local college campus. What would he say? Would he be like Matthew chapter 9, seeing the people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and say, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? At Christian Collegiate Network, we are sending workers into the harvest. We are training students how to proclaim the glorious gospel, not only in the way that they live their lives, but how to speak to the campus community about the gospel. If you want to support our ministry at Christian Collegiate Network by becoming a campus leader or financially, go to changeyourcampus.com. Christian Collegiate Network, changeyourcampus.com.
Cannibalism is okay as long as you're not actually hurting somebody.
Wouldn't eating someone hurt them?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
There's only one way to have your sins forgiven.
As born-again Christians, part of our duty is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or have never witnessed before, Witness Radio has something for you. Tune in next time to strengthen your faith and learn how to defend it. Go to witnesstalkradio.org. That's witnesstalkradio.org.
I truly understand what people may say. They believe to think how we think is far from okay. But I believe it's never okay to abandon your dreams. And it just so happens that our dream is to lift up a holy king. See, this is my life, my choice, and I choose to lift up my hands. And please don't be alarmed if when the music comes on, I begin to dance. And run across the room until I can barely catch my breath. And fall on the floor because I gave it all and have nothing left. See, I'm going to worship until I pass out. See, I came to worship until I pass out. But we go hard in the paint, hard in the paint. We go hard in the paint. But you don't know what I've been through. And I'm still going through some of it. So dancing is something that I gotta do. See, Jesus was the only one that saved my soul. He took a chance on this broken-hearted man, grabbed my hand and he made me whole. Yeah. See, Jesus was the only one who saved my soul. Made me whole, so I'm gonna work. begging for this pain. But just like Saul changed into Paul, Jesus Christ came and changed my name.
Welcome back to G220 Radio. Sorry about that little bit of dead air right there. Took me a minute to realize the song ended quicker than it looked like it was going to, and had to click back over to unmute myself so that you can hear me talk, and didn't get to it quick enough. I want to talk real quickly about some false teaching and false teachers in general. You know, I wrote on my Facebook account the other day, you know, I was listening to some false teachers for the purpose of research, because I was thinking about doing some shows, and I put this out once before. I was going to do some shows on some of these false teachers and was trying to get some people who bought into the Word of Faith, who listened to Creflo Dollar or Joyce Meyer or T.D. Jakes, if they would be willing to come on to the show and defend their false teacher. Of course, they don't see them as false teachers, but if they would be willing to come on and defend them. And I never got anyone to respond to me that said they would come on to defend them. But so anyways, I was listening to a couple of these sermons. I listened to Joel Osteen, and I listened to Creflo Dollar and a Joyce Meyer, as well as Bill Johnson, and just listened to their, I don't even really want to call them sermons. I listened to them talk. I listened to a message that they gave. Joel Osteen, I'll tell you, to me, when I listen to Joel Osteen, which I don't do it often, because only so much of these false teachers I can handle, but it's just like listening to, who was that guy, Tony Robbins, or that one guy that was a very, like, a motivational speaker. That's what I get out of Joel Osteen. He just wants to make you feel all positive and good about yourself, you know, and never really wants to deal with the issue of sin, says we just make bad choices and calls them mistakes, but never, ever deals with sin. He mentions repent and believe, but I don't even think he knows what repentance means, because when you listen to him at the end of the show, it doesn't. And then he wants to lead people in a sinner's prayer and say, if you prayed that prayer, then you, I believe you are a child of God now. And how do you know? I was talking to one of my pastors tonight about that. Like, how do you, when people do that, how do you know that they're really saved? And people profess people to be saved. I see it all the time. I don't want to jump off topic and chase this rabbit trail, but I'm going to go there right now. We see it all the time when we're out on the streets and when we talk to people who go out on the streets whose theology may be a little different than ours, of the Reformed kind. But they'll say, I led 70 people to the Lord today. Or we saw 100 and so many people come and get saved. Okay. Well, I think I was reading somewhere on Facebook something, or I was reading some article, something. I don't remember what it was, to be honest with you. I read so much. But the guy was saying that they seen about 1,000 people or so come to Christ And, you know, I always want to ask these people that pastor these churches that say that, where are those people? Because most of the time in the churches that say that, those people that came and the 1,000 people that got saved aren't going to that church. So where are they? Where's your follow-up? How do you know these people are truly even saved? You know, and they don't. I mean, you go and ask anybody if they want to go to hell. People mainly will say no. I mean, of course, you're going to have your few that will try to be funny and think they're being cool by saying, you know, they're going to go party in hell. But you know, truly deep down, they don't want to go there. People suppress the truth and their unrighteousness because they love their sin, but they don't ultimately want to pay the consequences for their sin. They want to enjoy and engage in their sinfulness, but they don't want to pay the consequences for that sin. You don't know. And so this is what we kind of see with false teachers like this, like with Joel Osteen, just leading people in a sinner's prayer and then declaring them to be saved at the end. But like I said, he's more of a motivational speaker than anything else. And it's really hard to try to get through some of these. And the irony was I listened to Creflo Dollar, and the title of the message was Rightly Dividing the Word of God. And how ironic is it that a false teacher is trying to teach his church, loosely, when I say the word church, I say that loosely, trying to teach his church that how to rightly divide the Word of God. And I'm just thinking the whole time, because for some, I mean, false teachers, they say things to me. As I'm discerning through what they're saying, they say things like, you need to study the Bible, you need to learn. And it blows my mind, because I'm thinking, if these people were really Christians studying the Bible, they would see through the nonsense that you teach, that you preach. But unfortunately, they don't, because I think for many of them, they are not saved. There may be some that get saved under a false teacher, but I was telling in church today in our Sunday school class, we were talking about Catholicism. It came up, and I was telling one of the ladies in the class, be careful, because just because a priest may seem to be a godly man, the Roman Catholic system is a false gospel that's preached there. It's a false gospel. It's a gospel of works. Therefore, Paul says in Galatians, if anyone comes preaching a different gospel, let them be cursed, let them be anathematized. So therefore, if people were truly rightly dividing the Word of God and reading it and seeking out to understand and to know what God is really teaching in His Word, they would study themselves right out of that false church. And it blows my mind. It blows my mind. It really blows my mind, because I'm listening to that, and I'm listening to him try to talk about how to rightly divide the Word of God. And he used hermeneutics, and I'm thinking, wow, like, is he listening to people who actually know what they're talking about and just using some of these words? And is he borrowing things? Because if he's really, truly trying to preach this truth and rightly divide the Word of God, then the false teachings that he teaches, he would repent of and say, you know, I was in error. I would have been preaching a false gospel, a prosperity, health, and wealth gospel, word of faith gospel of, you know, you just believe it and you receive it type gospel, which is not the gospel. This health, wealth, and prosperity gospel is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that God guarantees that if you come to Him, you're going to be blessed, that you're just going to receive all the finances that you're going to need in your life. It doesn't say you're going to get, or I should say that you're going to need, that you're going to want in your life, or you're going to get the best health in your life, and you're never going to get sick. I mean, I'm going to go to a story right now. And talk about, this is a story that I saw on the Christian Post today. Speaking of T.D. Jakes, speaking of these false teachers, right? So T.D. Jakes has to, he's one of these prosperity guys. One of the prosperity guys, you know, the ones that say, you know, if you come to God, you're going to be blessed with your health and your wealth, you know, all that. Well, he had to miss the last day for emergency eye treatment. So his prosperity's not working for him. But he had to miss the last day, and I don't want to make – okay, I did. But I maybe that's wrong. I shouldn't make light of that. But, okay. Anyways, he has evangelist Joyce L. Rogers speaking and filling in for him. And I've never heard of this lady before. Excuse me. But I'm going to read this article that was on the Christian Post here. It says, evangelist Joyce Rogers, the head of Primary Purpose Ministries and well-known conference speaker, filled in for an ailing Bishop T.D. Jakes at this year's MegaFest Sunday service and delivered a message to tens of thousands of American Airlines Center at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, about receiving the miracles that God has in store for you for them. Now, hold on. Before I go on, again, tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people are at this mega fest, and they are there to hear these false teachers. Tens of thousands of people. It blows my mind. I understand the sovereignty of God. I understand that God has to open the eyes of the, because people are blind, dead in their sins. I understand that. But so many of these people believe themselves to really love God. I mean, have you heard the one of the ladies from the Mary Mary group? I think it's hilarious, the song. Maybe I should pull it up one time and play it on the radio here on G220 Radio, but it's like, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? And she's one of those prosperity type kind of people that are out there in the gospel music scene. It's kind of a funny song. Actually, my daughter's not even a Christian, and we laugh about that song. It's just, it's hilarious. And her not even being a believer thinks it's just, wow, you know, crazy. But anyways, continuing on in this article, God is about to bless you with some non-qualifying blessings, preached Rogers at the Mega Fest crowd on Sunday. God is about to resurrect your dream, vision, and aspiration. Rogers illustrated her point using the biblical account of Abram, who was told by God that he and his wife, Sarai, would bear a child, even though she was barren. God would resurrect Abraham's dead possibilities. Oh, my goodness, said Rogers, who explained that God works in the areas where believers cannot provide him with any assistance and does this so that he gets all the glory. Well, that's true. God does things so that he does get the glory. All things are for the glory of God. That's why he's created us, for the glory of God. Okay. Rogers taught from the book of Genesis 22, verses 1 through 5, which gives account of Abram, who at this point goes by the name of Abraham, and spoke on his willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac, a miracle child from God's promise to the barren couple at the mountaintop. Let me scroll down here. It says, simply receiving the miracle wasn't the end for Abraham, according to Rogers, who said that the biblical patriarch, along with the believers in attendance, would have to be willing to offer up their gifts born out of miracles back to God as a sacrifice. Rogers also addressed believers' relationships while discussing Abraham's account on the mountain. He leaves many of his companions at the bottom of the mountain before making the journey up with Isaac. Rogers interpreted this as Abraham cutting ties with certain people in order to receive a miracle and communicated what this would look like in the believer's life today. Okay, I'm going to stop there because Abraham does go back down the mountain to his servants who he told to wait there. You have to be very careful, you know, and a lot of times false teachers will say things that sound true, say things that are true, but they mix it in with those lies. And so you have to be very, very careful with false teachers. I'm still shocked that tens of thousands of people, I shouldn't be shocked because that's usually the kind of crowds that these false teachers draw, but tens of thousands of people being there to hear this stuff from these false teachers through the entire weekend. If you're going to receive your miracle, you're going to need to streamline your contacts. Okay, so she then went on to explain the difference between people who are attachments and assignments to believers, with the latter being the God-ordained version of the two. If you're assigned to me, the enemy should not get to me, she said. I need somebody that will pick me up in the spirit. Now, I've heard that from false teachers before, because I've actually tried to talk to people where they'll, if I try to correct them in an area where they're wrong and they're believing something that's false, they say, I don't need this negativity in my life. You're one of the people I have to cut out from my life. I only need the positive people that are going to build me up. Well, if you don't understand or don't see that correcting someone's wrong view of something is building them up, is encouraging them, is trying to edify them, to help them grow in their sanctification process, well, then you are sadly, sadly deceived, because you think that only people that come and speak positive things into your life is there for your benefit? No. I would much rather have people come to me and tell me that I'm wrong in an area and show me where I'm wrong and try to help me and point out the areas that I may have errors in, because that person actually truly does want to see me grow and edified and encouraged and lifted up, because that person is willing to tell me the truth regardless of how I may feel about it. Most of the people who listen to false teachers, they don't want to hear the truth, because you're attacking one of their idols. Yeah, I said it. It's an idol. These people, these pastors in their lives, like the T.D. Jakes, like the Joyce Meyers, like the Benny Hinn's and the Creflo Dollars and the Joel Osteen's, they're idols in the lives of many of these people, probably a great majority of these people that attend and listen to them week after week. Why? Because if you come to them and present, as I said, the areas where these people are wrong, the first thing they do is, do not touch God's anointed. Who are you to attack one of God's chosen anointed? Well, let's look at Scripture. If the Apostle Paul, who wrote a good majority of books in the New Testament, gave us many epistles in the New Testament, if he can be questioned by the Bereans, who searched the Scriptures daily to see if what he said was true, the Apostle Paul, did I say that? The Apostle Paul? I think I said that, right? The Apostle Paul, if he can be challenged by the Bereans to see in the Scriptures if what he is saying is true, why do these people who follow these false teachers say, don't touch God's anointed? You can't challenge them. You cannot go after them. Who are you, oh man, to challenge my favorite teacher, my favorite preacher on TV or on the radio? You know, there's a lot of great preachers and teachers that I listen to, and I'll tell you the truth, I don't hold any of them to the esteem of a God, small g. I don't hold any of them to up on a pedestal. I think there are some very wonderful godly men that I've learned a lot from. But if somebody comes and says something to me that, hey, this person is not right in this area, I'm not going to blow it off. You know, I'm going to check it out. Because if they come to me with a concern for somebody that I'm listening to, again, they're coming to me with that concern because of their care for me, knowing that I may listen to one of these people that preach, that they have a concern with. And that's not what we see here. And so going to continue on in this, she says, attachments, on the other hand, are people in the believer's life that do not push them forward when it comes to God's purpose in their life. They also require an explanation for actions a believer may take, according to Rogers, who said that Abraham knew there was no reason to waste time trying to explain why he needed to sacrifice Isaac to the companions he left behind. God tested Abraham's faith and provided replacement sacrifice. This same test will come to those, to the house of believers, according to Rogers. This sacrifice could have cost Abraham his precious son, who only came to him and his wife through God's divine intervention. Rogers closed out her message by encouraging the crowd to do as Abraham did when the angel visited his household and told his family to expect a child, which was to prepare for a miracle. The miracle would blow their mind and exceed any of their expectations. This shall be the time where the provisions of the Lord will be seen in your life. God will supply your needs according to his riches. The blessings shall walk upon you and overtake you. When people see you coming, they are going to say, here comes blessings, said Rogers. That's one of the things many false teachers, always talking about the blessings. You know, are we blessed as children of God? Absolutely. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. What greater miracle? What more blessings do we need? Where is the contentment? There is no contentment in the faith word movement, in the health, wealth, and prosperity movement. They're not content with what they have. That's why Creflo Dollar months ago was asking for like a 60 whatever million dollar plane. That's why these health, wealth, and prosperity teachers always want the next big house, or they have huge houses or newest cars and multiple cars. They're not content. They're not content. They're always searching for the new blessing. We have everything we need in Christ. You know? Let me see where I'm at here. The miracle would, I already read that. Test may follow the miracle, but believers should not be surprised, she emphasized. The character of an individual is not defined during their good days, said Rogers. The MegaFest Sunday service closed out with an offering and worship music. MegaFest is a five-day Christian conference headed by Bishop T.D. Jakes that features actors, singers, comedians, chefs, and prominent Christian speakers. This year's event featured Hollywood producers Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, who are, I think, Catholic, I believe. Didn't they make the Son of God movie and television show, the Bible miniseries? Yeah, I think T.D. Jakes had a part in that too. And it was his religious and biblical understanding and mind that helped them put together that show, which was way off from the Bible. So let's get back to this. A director and actor Tyler Perry, who was also there last year, from my understanding, comedian Cheryl Underwood, rapper MC Light. I remember MC Light back in the day when I used to listen to that kind of music back, like that's like the 80s. And speakers, Joyce Myers. There's another false one for you. Pretty much all of them on this list are. And Christine Kane, who I don't know who she is, but probably doesn't even need to really look up her resume at all. But Dallas might also be the host city for MegaFest 2017 and has been pre-selected as a contender for the family-friendly event 2 years from now. So it's a family-friendly event. And so many false teachers. It's sad. It's sad to see tens of thousands of people going out to these things. It's really sad, you know. And speaking of these false teachers, they're listening to those sermons. Again, let me rephrase that because they weren't sermons. Listening to those messages of those people talk. It just blows your mind. I think to myself, where is the discernment? Again, I am not one to stand here or sit here as I'm sitting and say that I have everything 100% correct to theology. I don't. Nobody does. I understand that. But there's a difference between having a right, correct view and understanding of the gospel, a right, correct view of and understanding of the essentials of the faith and who God is, and then having a false, twisted view of who God is. You know, it's one thing for someone to make a mistake and say something wrong. It's another thing for people to believe and actually teach something that is wrong on a regular, consistent basis, unrepentant. You know, when a lot of times people want to say, like when we're dealing with Joyce Myers, that a lot of the things that she said that are heretical were said in the past or in older books long ago. But the thing is this, when confronted on this, she has not come out and said, I repent. I was wrong. I was young in the faith at that time. I didn't know. I through study, I learned more. No, she don't. These people do not repent. So that is the deal with many of these false teachers. It's just really, really sad. Moving along, let's go to a quick commercial, and we will be back.
RabbinGrace.com. Our mission here is to spread the gospel with our clothing and way of life.
What's the gospel?
Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Who came to save sinners?
Died on a cross, nailed my sin thereto, was placed in the grave.
3 days later, he defeats sin and death.
And that man, that God, that man, Christ Jesus, rose again from the dead.
A skeleton would come from that sin and trust in him.
Amen, somebody.
Our desire, God will use wrath and grace as a tool to save the lost. Our hope, bring glory to God, man. All praise to him.
Unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what better way than to use our clothing as the way to witness? Now you can preach the gospel anywhere it's
to. It's all wrath and grace since we know it's Christian. And this business is consistent with the Holy Spirit.
Stop by wrathandgrace.com and join the movement.
Get a better one, a better cup of making it, forgive it to the messenger, stepping within. You'll never deal with depression again by professing your faith and confessing your sin.
You need to be
repping for him. They put nails in his hands and was stretching his limbs.
While we argue about money and wrestle our kin, he was thinking about hanging to death for his friends.
Wow. What's next on the list? We dabble in death and we mess in our sin. He's willing to teach the same lesson again, trade to heaven for earth just to check on his kids. Every second I live, he never gives up and he never gives in. Gotta get the biggest in him and the picture with evidence in him. Every minute of my ministry, I gotta get it.
Let's get it.
Can't deny his sovereignty. Every time he talks to me, you can see just how fast my heart can beat. I want more like the shark at sea. When I worship, people stop and see. Every second means a lot to me. He is the biggest part of me.
This world,
this world can fulfill all my fantasies, but it wouldn't do nothing but damage me. Jesus, he knows how to handle me. He accepted me into his family. He took a step for me, never abandoned me. Whenever he coming back, I wanna be with him. I wanna be with him, cause he is someone. Deny him, stand
standing by him even when man defies him. Strategizing on how to hand indictments out to these vandalizing guys. Wish I could dress up in the Santa disguise and stand behind their candlelights on Christmas demanding their prizes. I'm reminded of nights when my family cried, cause pregnant and homeless don't go together like sandals and ties. Before we got put out, I got a call from the randomest guy, put money in my hand and replied, spend it wisely, man of God.
Lord, you had my back so many times. Your love is something I just... And when I tried to get away, you stayed to fight. The type of love will cause a man to cry. They got alcohol like a mountain tar. You walk around them all and they bound it all. They got bankrolls in the same role. And then they go wherever fame goes. They got pity goes, they got money goes, they got a lot of shows, they got all of those. But Jesus, you're the only one that...
Sunday Night Small Talk here on G220 Radio. A movie I guess just came out this weekend called The War Room. Have you heard of that? I guess it's a film by the Kendrick brothers, the ones who brought us films like Fireproof and Courageous, which I thought were really good movies. Fireproof and Courageous I thought were decent films. They had another one, Facing the Giants, that I thought was also really good, and Flywheel. And I thought all their movies were pretty good, decent films, better than most quote unquote Christian films. But anyways, this movie I guess came out this weekend, and many people are talking about it. Many people within the Christian world I guess are kind of buzzing about it. I'm looking at an article on the Christian Post about this as well, about this movie dealing with prayer. So The War Room is dealing with prayer. Don't know if I'll go see it. I don't know if I will or not. But if you've seen it, let me know what you think about it. So before I go and waste any money or spend any money, I don't want to say waste if it's not a waste, but spend any money on something like that, let me know what you think about the movie if you've seen it. But like I said, the other movies were pretty good. I know Fireproof and Courageous were decent films. So who knows? Well, before we get moving along to the ending of this show, I want to go through some theology terms and help you maybe understand them if you don't. And so we're going to kind of go through a few of these here. The Apocrypha. Maybe you've heard of the Apocrypha before. The word Apocrypha means hidden. It is used in a general sense to describe a list of books written by Jews between 300 and 100 BC. More specifically, it is used of the seven additional books accepted by the Catholic Church as being inspired. The entire list of books of the Apocrypha are 1st and 2nd, Esdras, Tobit, Judith, the rest of Esther, the wisdom of Solomon, Sirach, also titled Ecclesiasticus, Baruch, the letter of Jeremiah, Song of Three Young Men, Susanna, Bel and the Dragon, the additions to Daniel, the prayer of Manasseh, and 1st and 2nd Maccabees. The books accepted as inspired and included in the Catholic Bible are Tobit, Judith, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Wisdom of Solomon, Sirach, also known as the Ecclesiasticus and Baruch. The Jews, though, never recognized these books as being canonical, or inspired. So there is no record that Jesus or the apostles ever quoted from the apocryphal books. The Septuagint includes the books not as scripture, but as part of the translation of the Hebrew manuscripts as a whole. Another term that you may hear is apologetics. The word apologetics is derived from the Greek word apologia, which means to make a defense. It has come to mean defense of the faith. Apologetics covers many areas: who Jesus is, the reliability of the Bible, refuting cults, biblical evidences in the history or archaeological, answering objections, etc. In short, it deals with giving reasons for Christianity being the true religion. We are called by God to give an apologia or defense. So, but if you've listened to this show, you know that we've had Anthony Silvestro on to talk about presuppositional apologetics, as well as Timothy Cruz, and they've been on to do a couple shows, and I think we're going to have them on and do another one sometime here in the future, another one on presuppositional apologetics, which means we start with the basis of the Bible. We don't really give people evidence to try to prove to them that God exists, because they already know God does. So therefore, we just say, you already know God exists, and without him, you can't make sense of your worldview. So that's what we stick to, because it's very scriptural. And So another term is apostle. Apostle is someone sent with a special message or commission. Jesus is called the apostle and high priest of our confession in Hebrews 3:1. The 12 apostles of Jesus were Simon Peter, Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. Paul became an apostle after Jesus' resurrection, along with Barnabas and others. Apostles established churches. They exposed error and defended the truth of the gospel. Some were empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform miracles, and they were to preach the gospel. Another term is Arianism. It is an ancient theological error that appeared around the year 300 or 320. It taught that God could not appear on the earth and that Jesus was not eternal and could not be God. Additionally, it taught that there was only one person in the Godhead, the Father. Jesus then was a creation. It was condemned by the Council of Nicaea in 325. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Way International, and the Christadelphians, let me try to say that again, Christadelphians groups are roughly equivalent, though not exactly, to this ancient error. And that was a hard word. Don't laugh at me, because you probably would have done the same thing. So the next term is Arminianism. There are five main tenets of Arminianism. And number one is God elects or reproves on the basis of foreseen faith or unbelief. Number two, Christ died for all men and for every man, although only believers are saved. Number three, man is so depraved that divine grace is necessary unto faith or any good deed. Number four, this grace may be resisted. Number five, whether all who are truly regenerate will certainly persevere in the faith is a point which needs further investigation. And so if you listen to this show for any length of time, you know that we are Calvinists here. I am a Calvinist. I am the only show. So I am a Calvinist, so I do not hold to the 5 points of Arminianism. I hold to the 5 points of Calvinism, which I will contrast that now. Calvinism, next term, a system of Christian interpretation formalized by John Calvin. It emphasizes predestination and salvation. The 5 points of Calvinism were developed in response to the Arminian position. Calvinism teaches, number one, total depravity, that man is touched by sin in all parts of his being, body, soul, mind, and emotions. Number two is unconditional election, that God's favor to man is completely by God's free choice and has nothing to do with man. It is completely undeserved by man and is not based on anything God sees in man. Number three is limited atonement, that Christ did not bear the sins of every individual who ever lived, but instead only bore the sins of those who were elected into salvation. And number four, irresistible grace, that God's call to someone for salvation cannot be resisted. And number five is the perseverance of the saints, that is not possible to lose one's salvation. These are the 5 points known as TULIP, and if you also, as I said, listen to G220 Radio, you will know that we did a show on TULIP and covered all of those points in, I think, like a 5-week series. So that's another term. I'll give you a couple more, and then we'll go for this evening. Atheism, this word comes from two Greek words, a, the negator, and theos, God. There are different sub-philosophies under atheism. The two main are, number one, those who lack belief in God, and number two, those who deny that God exists. Logically, it would seem that all atheists would be evolutionists. The Bible teaches that all men know there is a God, so therefore they will be without excuse on the day of judgment. Instead, atheists willingly suppress the knowledge of God by their unrighteousness. We see that in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. The next term is atonement. To atone means to make amends, to repair a wrong done. Biblically, it means to remove sin. The Old Testament atonements offered by the high priest were temporary and a foreshadow of the real and final atonement made by Jesus Christ. Jesus atoned for the sins of the world, in 1 John 2:2. This atonement is received by faith. Man is a sinner and cannot atone for himself. Therefore, because the Father loved us so much, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place for our sins. Because of the atonement, our fellowship with God is restored. Romans 5:10. Baptism, the next term, it's an immersion or sprinkling. I am a Baptist, so it's by immersion. I'm reading this definition, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a Baptist. It's immersion, buddy. But no, it's an immersion or sprinkling is what it has here in this definition. Although, like I said, I'm a Baptist, so we immerse. That signifies one's identification with a belief or cause in Christianity. It is the believer's identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so it is done in the name and authority of Christ with the baptismal formula of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It does not save. However, it is our obligation as believers to receive it. Some maintain that baptism is necessary for salvation, though it is not. If you want to, yeah, so it is not. But we should, because it is a identifying ourselves with Christ, is being obedient. Baptismal regeneration, we did a show on this as well with George Alvarado. The belief that baptism is essential to salvation, that is the means where forgiveness of sins is made real to the believer, this is incorrect. You know, Paul said that anyone who comes preaching, that he came to preach the gospel, not to baptize. If baptism were essential to salvation, then Paul would have included it in his standard practice and preaching of the salvation message of Jesus, but he did not. Blasphemy, and then this is going to be our last one, and then we're going to end the show for tonight. Blasphemy is speaking evil of God or denying him some good which we should attribute to him. A blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is stating that Jesus did his miracles by the power of the devil and is an unforgivable sin. Blasphemy arises out of pride, hatred, injustice, and Christ was mistakenly accused of blasphemy. Also, blasphemy is not just taking the name of God in vain or, you know, using it as a curse word or out of anger. Or just in vain means like meaningless. It's also identifying yourself with Christ and then living opposite of that. So if you say, yes, I'm a Christian, but then your life is contradictory to what a Christian would be as far as someone who represents Christ, that is also blasphemy as well. Well, that's been some definitions for you for tonight. I went a little bit longer than I planned, but that's okay. It's G220 Radio, so I guess I can do that. Well, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. On Tuesday night, I'm going to have Pastor Mike Waters on the show, and we are going to be talking about pressing questions. So you're going to want to tune in on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear about that and to hear Pastor Mike Waters. So until then, I hope you enjoyed this evening's show here on G220 Radio Sunday Night Small Talk. Thank you, listeners, for not calling in and allowing me to talk for the entire hour and 10 minutes. I appreciate that. It was really nice to be able to just talk and talk and talk without hearing what's on your mind. But until the next G220 Radio Sunday Night Small Talk, God bless and good night.
You're listening to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I hope you enjoy this episode of G220 Radio.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him